You know, this is an issue that I've been concerned with for some time and starting to read a little bit more about it. But the real idea for the article and for the documentary film we're producing came when I was over in Europe. I lived in Rome for the last 2 years, just got back about 6 months ago. And I was in an Italian language class with a group from people all over the world. And the exercise was to go around the room and say something about the university system in your country. So I described the idea of student loans and student debt to this room full of people from around the world and watched their reactions. Their jaws dropped open as I explained to them this idea that we're going to finance our education in the United States, take out thousands of dollars of student loans that will take 30 years to pay back, and many of us won't be able to pay them back, and that's how we're paying for our education.
You know, and as stunning as it is maybe to people around the world, it's actually kind of stunning to me, because as somebody who paid their way through school, worked and paid their way as I went, I don't know that that's as easy to do or if it's even possible in many cases anymore without taking out some type of loan, having some access to cash that way.
You know, you're exactly right, because if you look at the timeline of things 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you could go through university, you could go through college and pay for your education even with a summer job. You used to be able to work for about 10 weeks to pay for 1 year of college. And of course, now it's impossible. You'd have to work at a minimum wage job 35, 40 weeks, almost an entire year, to pay for even the most affordable education. And that's the issue that's not really reported when people talk about student loans, is the spiraling upward cost of higher education. We've seen stats that show that tuition has gone up 900% in the last 3.5 decades. And if you look even locally here at UIS, in 2004, tuition was just over $4,000 for incoming freshmen. And students that just enrolled for this year are paying $9,247.50. So the costs are going up and up, and it's really no longer an option to pay your way.
For many people, the concern is always access to higher education. When the price goes up, can people afford to go? Well, a lot of people are going. Still, we're still seeing record numbers of people, for example, at the University of Illinois, record freshman class. Is it a situation where people don't realize they're putting themselves into such debt, and when they get out, it's going to be awful hard to dig out of that?
You know, I think that's true. There's a big problem that people aren't considering the cost, and then also sort of throw their hands up in the air and say, what else am I supposed to do? I've talked to people that have said in the article, I talked to one of the financial directors here at UIS, and his quote was, whenever I tell students the cost of student loans and the burden, they still say, how much can I borrow and how fast can I get it? And there's just this idea that we're not educating students about what the cost will be, what the burden will be after they graduate, and also the realities of what they may earn when they graduate. I talked to an executive at an energy company last week, and he said a petroleum engineer in our company will make $95,000 in his first year, but an accountant in the same company with a degree that may have cost the same to obtain will make $40,000. And these are issues that we need to be educating our students about. And like you mentioned, record enrollment, 60% of these students are going to take out a student loan, and a third of them are going to default within 3 years of graduation. So it's a really important issue to be educating our students about.
We're talking with Zach Baliva. He is a freelance media producer, and he wrote the cover article in the latest Illinois Times. It's talking about student debt. You've known about this issue. That's why you decided to get into this. What surprised you, though, when you were reporting on it? Did you learn some things that you were not aware of?
There were a few surprising things, and mainly I hadn't realized just how, I guess, prolific and deep this issue is. You can't find a person that's not affected in one way or another by student debt. Most people have student debt. Most people may have recently paid off their student debt. And if not, they have children that are going to need to take out a loan. We've even talked to parents and grandparents who have co-signed on student loans for their kids or grandkids. So this issue is affecting people into their 60s and 70s. And the main reason I wanted to address it is because it's preventing a generation of young people from doing other things. We've talked to people who can't move out of state, can't get married, can't get a home loan. So people are delaying major life decisions, major steps, and often staying in jobs they hate and industries they don't want to be in because they have to pay off this massive debt that spirals out of control once you start to get behind and get penalties and your rates go up and up. So I think we need to be asking these questions. Most experts and studies out there say that a college degree is still worth the investment. But there's voices out there that are saying that that's not the case. And when you look at some of the stats, we're seeing that many people, almost half of graduates, are working in a field where their college degree is not required.
Talk about defaulting on a loan. What does that mean to them when it comes to their credit rating and all of that? I mean, how does this follow them?
follow those people for a long time, and what you can do is you can defer payments or enter forbearance for a certain period of time, and as you do that, your interest is still accruing, and oftentimes there will be penalties associated. So the woman that I talk with in the article originally borrowed $27,000, which ironically is very close to the national average, and now her loan balance is $45,000 because she entered forbearance and deferrals for a while. And there are certain things that you can try to do. And there are also repayment programs that most people are uneducated about, unaware of, that can put off – not just put off those payments, but also help you enter a repayment program where you can pay less and avoid default. The problem there is anything that's not repaid by the borrower is being passed on to the taxpayer. So that's where the real problem is in this whole issue. Right now, there's $76 billion that's owed to the government that's not being paid back. That burden's going to be to the taxpayer. As more and more of these students enter default over the next 10 or 20 years, this really could be the next big collapse like the crisis we saw with the housing market a few years ago.
Well, we know that the cost of higher education, it's not going to necessarily get cheaper going forward. We also know that there's not a lot of money to go around from, say, state and federal sources. And yet people year after year realize that they need to go to college. At least many of them feel that way. And they go and they get the degrees and they rack up this debt. I mean, is there anything looking ahead out there that anybody has come up with a solution to this problem and a way to maybe slow this down a bit?
Right now, all the solutions seem to have an added cost or an added problem with them. We've seen Congress just pass this act that ties rates to the Treasury rates. That buys us some time. I talked to Dick Durbin, and he said, you know, this gives us a few years to come up with a better solution. But he's right in saying that this doesn't address the mountain of debt that's out there, over $1 trillion right now in student loan debt. It doesn't address the costs of higher education. And so every solution that people are proposing seems to have a problem with it. I like this idea that the state of Oregon has put out that's called pay it forward, pay it back. And what it does is says, okay, higher education is free for you, but for the next 20 or 30 years, you're going to pay a percentage of your income back. Problem with this system is it's got a $9 billion startup cost. And where's that money going to come from? So people are working really hard to come up with solutions right now, but there's no magic pill that we can all take to make this issue go away.
You're going to be working, you hope, on a documentary film about this problem. Can you talk just briefly about that and what you hope to accomplish with that?
Yeah, so we're starting right now in trying to get a short film or a trailer off the ground. We've set up a website at deferredmovie.com, and we will be crowdfunding the first portion of this in the coming week, so people can go to that. We also have Twitter and Facebook feeds set up. What we want to do is just bring this issue out to the general public in a bigger way. I was really surprised when I looked around and saw that nobody has done this before in a feature-length format. And so we want to talk not just locally and how this issue is affecting people in Illinois, but how is it affecting people around the nation and around the world? Are there other solutions out there that we can look at? I talked about how I spent some time in Europe. The system there is you can go to university for free. They're public universities, and you just pay taxes. And that seems appealing until you realize that course sizes are enormous, the dropout rate is high, and now as European countries are facing financial difficulties, those systems are starting to collapse as well.